Let's take our Bibles this morning and open, please, to the book of Acts. Acts, I believe it's chapter number 24. Always when I say the book of Acts, I have a hard time, I think, pronouncing it. It sounds to me like I'm saying A-X-E. The book of, I don't know how you say it without it sounding like A-X-E. Acts, whatever. Chapter 24 and verse number 10. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. Thank you for being here. We have some visitors with us today to the Willis family. Thank you all for being here, Brother Willis. I appreciate that. I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate the Lord giving us this time together. The Bible said, then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers." Anybody come to worship this morning? How many likes that statement, the God of our fathers? I believe our founding fathers would be heartbroken to see what's becoming of a nation that was founded on the truths of God's Word. How that good is being called evil, and evil is being called good. The Word of God said, "Worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." You can be seated. Pray with me, please, and pray for me. Our Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I thank you for the joy that's expressed in their greeting. I thank you, Father, for this book, the Bible. I thank you for the truths, our Lord, that have changed and are changing and will change our lives. I thank you, dear Father, this morning for the Holy Spirit. That's our prayer this morning, Lord, that He will do His office work in our hearts and in our lives this day. Lord, I thank you that Sister Danita was able to come. Lord, through it all, she still has a song. God, we're grateful for that. How it blesses our hearts to hear the songs of Zion that express, Lord, a deep appreciation for your grace, for your peace. Lord, we want to just stop and say before we preach, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, when I look back at my life, so many times was absolutely unlovable. But God, you love me anyway. Lord, I appreciate that. Help me, Lord, to take that same love to the world. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Some are here this morning that were not here last Sunday morning. And those of you, you're probably not thinking, well, our pastor has lost it. But I read exactly the same text this morning that I read last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the resurrection of the unjust. This morning, I want to preach on the resurrection of the just and the unjust. I want to look at some similarities in the two resurrections, and then I want to look at some differences or some contrast in the two resurrections. I believe this morning that God's people ought to be very conscious of what's right around the corner for us as the people of God. I believe there's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time around the throne of God. Yes, we're going to have to go to the judgment seat of Christ first. And no, I don't believe that's all going to be pleasant. But I do believe that we're going to worship like we've never worshiped before. We're going to shout like we've never shouted before. We're going to be humbled like we've never been humbled before. I believe we'll fall at His feet, Brother Larry. I believe, listen, a lot of the songwriters talk about face to face, and that may be true. But I believe before we ever get face to face with Him, it'll be face to feet. We'll want to fall. You read your Bible. When they encountered Him, they fell at His feet. Amen. What a great day that's going to be for the children of God. I want you to stay with me in your heart and in your mind. Those of you that are saved by the grace of God, I want you to know there's a great day coming. Those of you that are not saved by the grace of God, I want you to know there's a great day of His wrath that's coming. I want to look first of all this morning at the contrast or the difference, if I could, and look at the similarities. I think I'll look at the similarities first, and then we'll look at the contrast between these two resurrections. First of all, this morning, in the similarities, the participants in both resurrections, the just and the unjust, will stand before the same Lord and the same Savior, Jesus Christ. You remember that over in the book of Acts, when Jesus was going to ascend, I believe it was Acts chapter number 1, the angels stood by there and they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven?" Then they used these three words, "This same Jesus, whom you see ascending into heaven, shall so return in like manner." And so, in the similarity in both resurrections, the just and the unjust, the judge will be the same one. It will be the Lord Jesus that we will stand before. There'll be no other. It won't be Muhammad. It won't be Buddha. You can still find their bones. It'll be the one that rose again the third and appointed day. The one the Word of God declared to be the first fruits of all them that sleep. His name is Jesus. I want to stop and say something this morning. I've said it before. I will say it again if I live very long. I knew there was something about that name before I ever knew Him. Before I was ever saved, I knew in my heart there was something about that name. The Word of God said there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So in the similarities, the participants in both resurrections will stand before the same Jesus. Secondly, in both resurrections, you find that they're both promised in the same Bible. We get excited about the resurrection of the just, and we should. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be burdened about the resurrection of the unjust. They're both promised in the same Bible. Beloved, there's going to be a resurrection. Those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And they're both promised in the same Bible. I have more respect, much more respect, for a man or a woman that will stand and tell me they do not believe a word of this book than for someone that will take this book and tell me they believe the good things and they don't believe the bad things. They believe in the wonderful place called heaven, but they don't believe in the awful place called hell. They believe in the wonders of God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness, but they don't believe in the promise of God's judgment and God's wrath. I have more respect for the person that says, throw the whole book in the garbage can. By the way, you watch the politicians. They'll pull this book out when it's convenient. But start talking about sodomy and they'll lay it aside. Start talking about drunkenness and they'll lay it aside. Start talking about adultery and they'll lay it aside. By the way, we've got a bunch of thieves. If you haven't noticed, they're not robbing us anymore. They're robbing our children. And they're robbing our grandchildren. They're robbing the next generation. There's no way this generation or the next will pay the debt. No way. The similarities, the participants in both resurrections are going to stand before the same God, this same Jesus. Both resurrections are promised in the Scripture. The Bible said, he that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We're living in a generation that wants to tiptoe through the tulips. Just pick out the high spots. Pick out the pleasant spots. That's why they want to rewrite it every month. I've said for years, and I believe it's so, we don't need to change the Word of God. We need to get in it and let it get in us and change us. The Word of God is not the problem. Sin is the problem. The similarities. The third thing in the similarities. In both resurrections, there's no opportunity to change anything. The Word of God said, let me read it to you in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. I'm well aware that I read this last week and it's been a burden on my heart all week. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. There's no turning back. There's no changing after that resurrection takes place. In both resurrections, beloved, it's settled. There's no opportunity to change anything after that resurrection takes place. I don't know about you this morning, but when the Lord saved me, there were several things that went on that night. First of all, I understood in sitting there in my pride, God, let me understand what he was looking at. What he was looking at was filthy. What he was looking at was unjust. What he was looking at was a lost man. He said, preacher, why did you mention all that? Because I'm going to tell you, after I said yes to him, one of the first things, beloved, that blew me away was how clean I was. Tide can get the stains out of your clothes, and a good bar of soap can get the smell off your body. But only the blood of Jesus can get that stain out of your heart. I went down filthy. and come up clean. I went down, beloved, listen to me, on my way to hell and came up on my way to heaven. I went down guilty and came up pardoned by the Lamb of God. There's no opportunity. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. You die filthy, he'll be filthy in the resurrection. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. You die unjust, you'll be unjust in the resurrection. But didn't stop there, Brother John. He that is holy, he that is righteous. Oh, you say, who do you think you are? I tell you, I am a sinner. It's been saved by the grace of God. It's not my righteousness he's looking at. It's his. He took away my sin. He emptied a bucket of filth. But he didn't just leave me empty. He had him a bucket full of stuff besides filth. It was love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. The Word of God says, against such there's no law. Holy Ghost, he just dumped it in. No longer do I have to be talked into going to church. I want to go. I don't have to be talked into being kind. I want to be kind. I don't have to be talked into saying I'm sorry when I blow it. Help me. Because I don't like grieving the Spirit of God. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. The Word of God, looking at some similarities. Give you this. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Let's read a verse here. Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Well, we're doing good on time, Brother John. Thank you. You can call Bob after a while and tell him. Didn't take two services, just took 2 hours. Matthew chapter 25. When you get there, say amen. Well, I'm not there yet, so I can't say amen. Matthew 25, verse 46. This brings me to the fourth thing. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Similarity in both resurrections is this. The aftermath of both resurrections is eternal. It never ends. The children of God ought to love that. But how we ought to be burdened. Brother Gary, for those that will be tormented forever and forever and forever and forever. Every family in this building probably got somebody in your family, somebody that you work with, somebody that's a neighbor, that if they fell off the face of the globe today and died, they'd be tormented forever and forever. And forever. Number five, in both resurrections, listen to this. Someone is well pleased. The resurrection of the just. You know, Brother Don, I believe there's somebody looking forward to the resurrection of the just even more than I am. That's Jesus. Here comes my bride. They've been made white in the blood of the Lamb. I believe it's going to please him when the Father says, go get him, son. And he steps out on that cloud. The book of Revelation words it like this, come up hither. I believe it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful joy in the heart of the one. They sing a song talking about from our side. The song says it will be worth it all when I see Jesus or when we see Jesus. Well, I want you to know something. Looking at it from his side, praise God, brothers and sisters, he'll be saying it was worth it all. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him despised the shame, endured the cross, and is now sitting down at the right hand of God the Father. Going to be worth it all. Well, who's going to be pleased in the resurrection of the unjust? Won't be the Savior. You know who it'll be? Satan. Brother John, I was sitting just about exactly at Landmark Baptist Church where you're sitting. When the Spirit of God dealt with my heart, I can remember it like it was yesterday. There wasn't just one speaking to me. Old Slewfoot said, they'll laugh at you. He said, they'll throw you out of this church. He said, they'll mock you. But something happened. Praise God. The Savior won. I could hear him say, I love you. Don't worry about what they're going to say. Don't worry about what they're going to do. You're going to go to hell. You say a loving Savior would tell you that? Yes, just like a loving mother will tell her son or her daughter that that eye is hot and it will burn them. There'll be a warning. Both resurrections, some want to be well pleased. How many's ever heard somebody laugh? Oh boy, I got somebody in my mind right now and I won't say her name. You'll get it. How many's ever heard somebody laugh and when they laughed, there was a wickedness in that laugh? There was a vileness in that laugh. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, what's going on in this country is no laughing matter. Those little girls getting raped on the way up and in the shelters when they get in, that's no laughing matter. But I believe we've never heard a laugh like the laugh of old Slewfoot over the resurrection of the unjust. Gotcha. You see, he hates you. He wants to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's what his mission is. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The contrast could not be more clear. And yet, in the two resurrections, somebody's well pleased. I'll say this. I said Satan, and I said that on purpose because I had one fellow tell me one time, I want to go to hell. He said, that's where my buddies are. I'll tell you something right now. The buddies don't even know each other there. The Word of God said it's outer darkness. Amen. Nobody's ever went to hell and got a greeting. We're glad you're here. Brother John, I think about that rich man. As soon as he lifted his eyes in hell, he began to think about his five brothers. Well, I should rephrase that. The first thing he thought about was himself. Send Lazarus, cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Can't do that. It's a great gulf. Then he said, I have five brethren. Let him go tell my five brethren not to come to this awful place of torment. There's not one person in hell that wants somebody else to come. The only thing awaiting hell is the second death, when they'll be called up before God to be judged and then cast into an eternal burning lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and forever. In both resurrections, someone is well pleased. I'll give you this, and then we'll go to the second part of the message. In both resurrections, we're looking at the similarities. The participants in both resurrections had an opportunity in this life to change course. In both resurrections, you see, an opportunity to one man, he takes advantage of that opportunity. I don't know, Brother John, how many times I've heard somebody say, had I just known. My wife, we were watching a show the other day about guns, and they were talking about snake guns. And if you know anything about guns, that's the Colt guns that are named like a python, anaconda is the .44 Magnum, the Cobra. And they're worth, you could buy one, Brother Larry, probably 20 years ago for $700, and that same gun's bringing $3,000 to $3,500 today. And you could go back and say, man, had I only known, I would have put a few of them in the safe. You know what I mean? In other words, we had opportunity, but we missed it. Everybody. You say, Pastor, how can you say everybody has an opportunity? Here's why. The Bible said in John chapter 1, this was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible said, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Boy, I'm glad He was long-suffering with me. Long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's look now, if we can, for just a few minutes at the contrast in the two resurrections. There are some similarities, but there are some stark contrast in the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Number one, these resurrections take place at different times. A lot of folks down through the years have preached what has been termed a general resurrection. I'm not being unkind, but that is not taught in the Bible. The Word of God said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. You say, Pastor, what's the second death? It's the resurrection of the unjust. Paul said, we know there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. They take place at different times. The just, the believer, the born again, are resurrected at the coming of Christ. We call it the rapture, the catching away. We'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, Pastor, when is that going to happen? Any day. Anytime. I don't know the hour, but I'll tell you, my Heavenly Father does. I'm of the opinion, in reading and studying the Word of God, that our days are numbered on the earth. The Bible said, don't boast about tomorrow. The Word of God said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We have no promise of tomorrow. These two resurrections take place at different times. Secondly, the participants in these two resurrections end up in a different place. The Word of God said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the believer. And then in the resurrection, we'll have a new body, likened to the Son of God. The participants end up in a different place. The Word of God said when the rich man died, he lift his eyes in hell, being in torment. In that time before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was a place that was separated by a great gulf. The just on one side, they lift their eyes in hell. The unjust, rather, lift their eyes in hell. The just on the other side in Abraham's bosom. A different place. After the resurrection of Jesus, the gulf got even bigger. Because now the believer is absent from the body and present with the Lord. We end up in a different place. It's seen in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. In Revelation chapter number 20, the Bible said, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Beloved, it's a different time. This is after the thousand-year reign, when Satan raises up again and goes throughout the world to raise up against God one more time. The just had been resurrected a thousand years prior. Actually, 1,007. Because there's going to be a seven-year tribulation on the earth after the resurrection of the just. The participants end up in a different place. In Revelation 20 here, the Word of God said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, in whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Not going to matter that day. A person's position, a person's prestige, a person's power is not going to matter in that day. They take place at a different time. They end up in a different place. The participants in these two resurrections, number three, they end up in a different state. He said, Pastor, what do you mean? What I mean is this. I don't know if you're looking forward to it or not. The old songwriter said, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. Say, Pastor, what's it going to be like? I'll use the words of 1 John. I'll be like Jesus. Beloved, that ought to be the goal of every child of God. Right now, Brother Thurman, to be as much like Him as we can. But think about this. In that day, there's no flesh to hinder that. Sin is gone. Self is gone. Satan is gone. And we're like Jesus. Happier than we've ever been in our lives. You think about the believer. He's going to be like Jesus. He's going to be, the Word of God uses these two words in Hebrews, Brother John, far better. Hallelujah. What we've got to look forward to is far better than what we've got down here. I like it down here. I'm not enduring life. I'm enjoying life. But it's far better. Brother Joe, farther on. Far better than anything we can even imagine down here. But the unbeliever, he won't be like the Savior. He'll be like old Slewfoot, having rejected God's grace, rejected God's love, rejected God's mercy, think you know more than God knows. That's how this whole mess got started, amen. I will exalt my throne above your throne. God said, no, you won't. And he cast him out. Beloved, there's going to be a different state. Let me say this to you. I want you to think about it. While you and I are around the throne of God forever, the Bible talks about the New Jerusalem, that city like a bride adorned for her husband coming down from God out of heaven. I believe there's a new heaven. I believe there's a new earth. That's what the Word of God's talking about. I believe we'll go in and out of the city. It was a happy day when I discovered that. I'm not much for the city. I like the country. Amen. But that city will be different. There's no electric bill in that city. There's no lamps in that city. Don't even need the sun and the moon in that city. For the Son of God is the light of that city. That city's going to have an attraction for every born-again believer. The Son of God. The worst for the child of God is here in this life. It's fixing to get far better. But what's this? For the unbeliever, the best for the unbeliever is here. It's fixing to get far worse. You say, Pastor, what do you mean far worse? The Bible said weeping. The Bible said wailing. The Bible said gnashing of teeth. Eternally separated from God, from God's people. Far worse. The participants end up in a different state. And I close with this today. The two resurrections will take place at a different time. The participants end up in a different place. They end up in a different state. What I want to close with today, it means a lot to me. For the believer, for the just, there's going to be a glad reunion, Brother Rose. Is there anybody you're looking forward to seeing again? I had some help because my memory's not real good. I want to ask a question at Bible Way. We're just talking about 8 years now. Mother's Day, I will have been here 8 years. And oh, if I miss somebody, please forgive me. Please forgive me. But I would ask this question, Bible Way. Is anybody looking forward to seeing Brother Fred? Sister Sue again? Brother John was sitting there the other day and he talked about Brother Fred singing that song when he reached way down. That man that just hobbled up here on the platform service after service. I tell you what, I may have preached some sorry messages, but not according to Brother Fred. Every day, Brother John, when I got done, he'd say, Pastor, thank you for that good message. You say, what's it mean to you? I'll tell you what the resurrection of the just means to me. It means I'm going to get to hug his neck again. It also means, praise God, the next time I see him, he won't be carrying that bad hip. What about, beloved, listen, Brother Bob McClellan. Anybody know Brother Bob? You see, Brother Richard, you wouldn't be working on a small engine for me if Brother Bob was still living, because that was his forte, amen? That's what he loved to do. I don't know if anybody taped it or not, but you ought to just get a tape of his funeral service. I preached on a lawnmower. I'm serious. Jesus did a lot of that. He'd take things down here, amen. What about Sister Teresa? She's one of the kindest women you'll ever meet in this world. How Brother Sam tricked her into marrying him, I will never know. But I'm telling you, for the children of God, honey, it's fixing to get sweet. Brother Merv, one of my fondest memories of Brother Merv. Listen, I hadn't been at the church just a week or two, maybe three or four, and he stood in that choir, burdened, Brother John, because people wouldn't get up. You remember that? Come to the choir. He said, Pastor, how do you know it was real? Because God filled the choir up. It wasn't taken as a rebuke. He was burdened, amen. Brother Merv. Brother Charles Johnson. One of the quietest men, Brother Houston, you'll ever meet in your life. Sister Barbara. We'll hear her sing again, Brother Rose. The next time we see her, old Slewfoot won't be tormenting her in her mind. She'll have a brand new mind. A brand new body. I thought about Brother Earl Rossi and Sister Pauline. Brother Earl come through the door. He said, I told them over there at Oak Glen, when they get a pastor over at Bible Way, I'm going back. Sister Pauline, Brother James, bring them fried apple pies. Blessed. Sister Helen, Brother Eddie. I don't see Sister Helen. She ain't back here, is she? Oh, there she is. He won't be having no trouble holding his head up the next time we see him. His faithfulness ought to put a lot of believers to shame. This is just 8 years. Now, I'm not talking about folks outside the church. I'm talking about in our church. Sister Donna Barton. Brother Dan. He never shook hands with a man like Brother Dan shook hands. He cocked his elbow before him. I just wonder if I get the glory if he ain't going to go. I tell you one thing, we won't have a mask on. We won't be worried about Germex. Boy, I'm glad that didn't go in my eyes. Brother Jimmy Doyle, Sr., I have to say senior because they'll think you're gone, Brother Jimmy. I remember coming to the church here and I went to visit with Brother Jimmy Doyle, Sr. And you know, I just take people at face value. He was getting out at 3 o'clock. You remember me calling you? He said, Pastor, he tells everybody that. I thought, Brother Jimmy better get ready. His daddy's getting out. I've got some fond memories. They're going to be a glad reunion. Brother Alan Elkins. Amen. The man's so sweet, Brother Wayne, that honey was running out of both corners of his mouth. Even when he was suffering. A burden about some of his family. Sister Reba Horton. Anybody know Sister Reba? Brother Dustin.
Oh, dear Lord. Brother Bill McCrary, is Beth here today? She's not here today, is she? This lady's not in our church here, but she meant a lot to our church, and most of you all know her, Sister Dolores Long. Crippled with crippling arthritis. Not for years, for decades. Kept going. Even in her final days down there grading lessons for those inmates. Just kept on going. Sister Geraldine. I never did get to know her like you all got to know her in her good days. But I will. The best days are ahead. Doc Markham, Ed Margaret Wallace, Sister Sandy Rossi. My wife asked me last night, she said, who's Jack Church? I told her, Brother John, how you introduced me to him. We'd go by and visit with him over on New Beeson Well. He was one that used to hand out the bulletins, wasn't he, Brother John? Brother Brian, you talk about a reunion. I've asked God to let us run together. I believe we will. I'll go barefooted if I have to. It's going to be a wonderful reunion. You say, Pastor, how would you contrast that? I want you to think about this for just a moment. For the believer, it's going to be a glad reunion. For the unbeliever, it's going to be a sad rebellion. They rebelled against God here, gnashing teeth, weeping, wailing, gnashing teeth forever and forever and forever. I'm not just saying this, but for the believer, there's going to be an awesome light in that city. But for the unbeliever, it's going to be absolute darkness. I've told this before, but I was in a prison years ago in Missouri. I need to stop and say this for those of you who don't know. As a missionary, as a preacher, like Brother Wayne, goes to prison. Brother Don, there was a thunderstorm and the lights went out in the chapel. In that prison, we didn't have a guard with us. Brother Larry, you had a radio on your side and an alarm. And you were responsible for the service for the men. They called them VICs, Volunteers in Correction. You had to take training. So we've got half of the men signed in. The electricity goes out. And about that time, an emergency light like you see over these doors came on. And I said, oh, praise God. About 30 seconds, they went out. And it was so dark you could not see your hand in front of your face. About that time, one of the men, Brother Aaron, took a cigarette lighter. I've never been so glad to have been sitting in the smoking section in all my life. He lit that cigarette lighter. And that little bit of light made all the difference in that chapel. The chapel's about the size of this choir, maybe just a little deeper. And what a relief that little bit of light brought to my heart. We had about 35 men in there, and I'm responsible for them. Y'all know what a shank is? That's anything in prison that you can stick somebody else with and kill them. In other words, when it's dark like that, the cameras can't see what's going on. It would have been a golden opportunity, Brother Wayne. But there was peace. And that little bit of light, you tell me what people in hell would give for a little bit of light. But it's not there. All we have is light as the children of God. But those that are going to end up in outer darkness, there's no light. For God's people, listen to what I'm about to say. The best is yet to come. For the unjust, the worst is yet to come. Brother Don, you travel now much more than I do. Where's the church's burden? Where are the churches that are soul winning? Where are the churches that are trying to make a difference in their community, realizing everything that's in this Bible is true? There's going to be a resurrection of the just. And there's going to be a resurrection of the unjust. Eternal bliss for the children of God. Eternal joy. Eternal torment for the unjust. I believe it was the book of Ezekiel. I may be wrong about that, but the question was asked, why will you die? When you look at the contrast of these two resurrections, why? When you look at the reunion, why? Why? When you look at the state that each are in, why? Why will you die? God's people, where's our burden? What are we doing to reach the lost? What are we doing in prayer? What are we doing with gospel literature? What are we doing in our life? There's a song the McCamey sang years ago, and I really liked the song. It made a mark in my heart. It said this, Brother John, somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out, that He could change my life and make me free. I'm so glad someone prayed for me. I close with this. You'll call Bob for me, won't you, Brother? Tell him. I close with this. I got saved. My grandpa was an old mountain preacher. He never did preach to big congregations, Brother Larry. Most of the places he went, they'd be 15, 20, maybe 35, 40, be a big congregation. By the way, I believe some of the big shot preachers will take a back seat. Couldn't read when God saved him, brother. And God called him to preach, and he went to the corn crib and said, God, you're going to have to help me to read. My grandmother for years read the Bible to him. If you want me to preach, you're going to have to help me to read. You know what God did? He helped him to read. You say, I don't believe that. That's our problem. I used to think as I sat there as a teenager, my grandpa would say, Noe. I'd say, bless his heart. He don't even know who Noe is. Then I got saved, Brother Larry, reading that Bible one day, and I said, uh-oh. I was the one that was wrong, Brother Don, not him. I got saved. My grandpa, here's what he said. He said, son, I want you to come with me. He lived in an old... Brother Thurman, you've seen them, the old coal mining towns, you know, one of them little houses. It had been moved to Glade Spring, Virginia. They had a way of putting beams under them and jacking them up and moving them. He lived in one of them old houses. And the cellar, that's what they called it. They didn't call it the basement because really it wasn't a basement. It was just a cellar. Some people call it a root cellar. But it had a dirt floor. But there was a spot, Brother John, half as big as that communion table. That dirt just wore out slick. You say, preacher, what wore it out? Two things. His knees and the tears and the snot coming out of his nose. And his begging God to save his grandboys, save his grandgirls, and save his children. Where's that burden today? Where's that burden today? I don't have anybody picked out for a song of invitation.